Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast, a podcast for creators serious about their art. I'm Devani.
And I'm Leora. And our guest today is Niraj Naik. He is an integrative health expert, musician, prolific content creator of words, music, products, courses, and more, and an extraordinary entrepreneur and ex-pharmacist. Welcome, Niraj.
Welcome. Thank you.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Niraj,
and it's Naik.
Yeah, or Naik. Some people say Naik. It changes all the time. Depends.
Okay.
I just roll with whatever you want.
Depends where you are and who's talking. Well, we want to get as right as we can. So, Niraj Naik, welcome. This is, as we talked about right before going starting the recording, there's so many things we want to talk with you about. You have an amazing journey, an amazing story. So we're actually going to segment this podcast into three different segments. And our first one is going to be your origin story of how it is you came to be essentially traveling the world as a lifestyle entrepreneur, doing your own businesses, because you have quite a unique journey of, you know, through struggle to success to share. So could you share your origin story, how you came to be doing what you're doing and how you came to be an ex-pharmacist?
Yes, indeed. So I actually... When my first ever entrepreneurial thing was when I was actually 19 years old, and I got really into music, producing music. And it was actually a way for me to create some significance at school, because I was like the small brown kid in the class. I was like one of the only few brown people in my year growing up at school. So there was a lot of racism. And I just got really into music anyway, but there was this like, certain type of music, this kind of dance music that was coming up. We're talking like 1997 now, which was getting really popular, this kind of underground rave scene. And I became pretty successful in that. And I started running a rave for 3 years with 2,000 people every month.
Wow.
And it was my first ever thing. And I was at university doing that.
Every month?
But, oh, yeah, every month. We had 2,000 people every month. It was insane. Yeah, we had huge names and... few people became famous from it and stuff. But I actually had like 1 foot in the business and 1 foot in the music. And eventually what happened was basically the music industry at that time, it attracted a very funny kind of crowd of people. Like there was like people really into music and there was all these kind of gangster types. And they basically made me lose my entire business overnight with a shooting that happened at the club. Which it wasn't my night, it was another night. And it meant that I was in this really crazy situation where I either had to, because I was at university at the time and I was doing my pharmacy degree. My parents were like, you have to finish a degree. And my heart was in saving this business and moving to another venue. But basically, I had to make this crazy choice. And I went with the safe, secure option of being a pharmacist. And eventually all that went down the pan and I ended up like then becoming an actual pharmacist, a community pharmacist. And I was like, couldn't believe it because at university I'd never really worked in a pharmacy before. And I had no idea what it was like to be a pharmacist. So I actually started working and I was like, this is insane. I cannot believe this is such a robotic job. You're just literally counting pills, dishing them out and you're filling out prescriptions based on some protocol that has been engineered by God knows who. Because it didn't make any sense that people were literally going away with shopping bags filled with drugs every month. And it didn't seem like it was a healthcare system. It seemed like people were getting worse and worse. And they were just saying, there were actually some patients who were eating more pills than they were food.
Oh, wow.
It was disgusting. Right? So I slowly became more and more broken and depressed. And I was like, I was trying to like still make it in the music business. Like I just kind of like found it really hard to be a creative person working in a very stressful 9-to-5 job. It was so hard to juggle the two. And so all my art creativity suffered. And I never got it back into the flow of doing music like I was. And I tried, like, there were times when I would, like, come home and I'd just, like, make music all night and then go to work, like, half asleep, you know, make mistakes at work, which wasn't a good idea in a pharmacy. And then that used to carry on for a while. And that just had this huge impact on my health. Like, the negativity, the being in a very low vibration energy at work where everyone's, like, annoyed and angry all the time, it just slowly just tore me up. And I became more and more depressed. And then what happened was I got dragged kicking and screaming by a friend who was actually a doctor. And he was also kind of fed up with his job, to a Tony Robbins event. And this event actually, I didn't know anything about this sort of personal development stuff, but it completely, totally opened my mind to this whole new world of personal development. And on one of the days it talks about health. It was the first time I ever heard anyone speak with so much clarity about health and how you can heal yourself and protect yourself and prevent diseases. Like, we'd never had any of this education at university. I don't think there was any talk about nutrition or vitamins or anything like that and how it improves our health. And I know that a lot of the doctors, and because I'm Asian, and a lot of our family friends are doctors and pharmacists, and most of them were, like, really unwell. So they weren't people who really had any idea about health. So I was like, okay, let me try a little experiment. I'm going to see if I can actually give this information to my patients rather than the pills. So I found a way of doing it by writing out these healthy shopping lists for patients based on their health issues. And it was usually the same thing, just changing their diet, because the most important thing is the diet. Like, I had no idea that diet makes such an impact on your health. Had no idea. So I started doing that. And those people who went over to the grocery store to buy, like, the foods, literally were coming back, like, who took action. Most of them took action because I had a persuasive nature of, like, getting people to do stuff. And they basically actually got well. Like, some of them came off all their medications completely. Wow. There were people who were losing, I mean, we have stone in England. I don't know what the equivalent is, but somebody went from 18 stone, which is, like, almost double my weight right now, to my weight. So this guy was twice my size, and he went down to my weight. Just all I did was tell him to stop drinking fizzy drinks. That was the only advice, because you don't have much information. You look at what's the worst thing that they're doing, and yeah. Fizzy drinks for them was the worst. They were drinking, like, 2 liters a day of Coke.
Wow.
And yeah, it was insane. So he swapped that, and he was literally, the weight was, like, lifted off him.
Wow.
So then I started to wake up to the fact that actually we're being kind of conditioned by people who don't have our best interests at heart, right from the educational system all the way through to corporations. And it's really, really interesting that I actually got promoted to the head office of the largest corporation in the world, probably, and they own this huge supermarket chain in the UK. I'm not going to name any names. I came up this healthy shopping list service, because what happened was I previously got fired from my pharmacy job for doing what I was doing, because people weren't taking the pills anymore. They weren't taking my stuff that I was, and they were saying I was mismanaging the pharmacy.
Isn't that so ironic?
But it's insane.
Supposed to, you know, promote the betterment of people's illnesses, and firing you literally for doing that very thing. Crazy.
Exactly. It's so wrong. So then I actually ended up getting promoted to the head office of this big supermarket chain, and they actually liked my idea, my concept. They were, like, actually encouraging towards it, until they started going deep into what I was telling people, and I was really focusing a lot on people with diabetes, because they were the easiest things to fix. Like, diabetes and obesity are things you can fix very easily with diet, and type 2 diabetes is. And what happened was then they started, like, bringing their legal team in to see, because I was going to launch this thing on their website, And they were like, you can't say that, you can't say that, you can't say that. And it was all becoming really watered down. And I think they realized that a large percentage of the people who buy their things like Coke, chocolates and confectionaries, you know, like things that are basically full of sugar, were a large percentage of them were they're diabetic, were people with diabetes. So they didn't want to wipe out their market of all this stuff. So, I mean, the rates of diabetes in the UK is really, really high. It's like 1 in 5 people or something like that.
Wow.
So it's really, really high rates of diabetes, which can be prevented. So they didn't really care. And then I saw a lot of this corruption in this environment. Like working in the corporate, I saw people just living in cubicle environments, you know, like not moving, like just glued to their screens, just typing in data all day long, like just... like lonely, you saw a lot of very lonely people, stressed people. And I was like thinking, do I really want to work in this environment? This is horrible. And then I realized also that they throw away like £1 billion worth of food a year when it goes out of date. And it's just crazy amounts of just crazy, like I just, none of the values of this company were aligned with who I was. So that made me even more depressed. And then, when I discovered that they were going to shelve my idea and I was going to have to go back to pharmacists, I actually got sick with this stress-related illness called colitis. And that left me housebound for like a year and I couldn't do my job anywhere. So it was like almost like I was ready to give it all up and end it. But something kept me like going and it was almost like a blessing, like the biggest blessing that's ever happened to me was getting one of the worst horrendous illnesses you can get, which is called ulcerative colitis, where you basically, I don't want to use such gross language, but you basically bleeding out your backside 40 times a day. And it's horrible. You're spending most of the day on the toilet and you're losing weight. Weight just drips off you like because you're going to the toilet so much. And ended up like literally like losing, I went from 65 kg to 45 kg.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a pretty, pretty horrific kind of transformation. And the doctor said that you're gonna have to have your colon removed because the drugs aren't working that you're taking and that's your last resort. But you've got one more choice. We can try and test you out. You can be a guinea pig on this new drug that hasn't been tested before. And I was like, this could not get any worse. This is like the worst thing you could ever. At this point, I was so weak that I couldn't even think properly.
You know, then, actually, like, how old were you?
I was 31. Okay. Yeah, yeah. This was like 2010. It was towards the end of 2010, just coming up to 2011. So for a year, it was like going like this. Then a very close friend of our family now, Swami Ambikananda, she's this yoga teacher in the UK. She runs this amazing yoga school. And she basically was a friend of our family. And she knew that I was sick. And she came to the rescue. And she basically said, what you've got is a gift. If you can heal yourself now, you would be an amazing role model to other people. So I was like, okay, and it gave me a little bit of hope, but I didn't think it was possible to heal myself. I had I'd lost kind of hope. And so basically she taught me like these basic protocols based on Ayurveda, meditation and pranayama, which is this breath work, and some very basic kind of like yoga techniques, asanas. And within 3 months, everything changed. And I was healed. And I started to like learn all about the subconscious mind and how the mind influences the body and how we can tap into this operating system and like literally clear it of these viruses and reprogram ourselves through really deep meditation. And how music is a powerful tool to change your state and how music influences everything, like from our physiology to the water in our body. You have 70% water in the body and how it affects our brainwaves and how you can literally just through sound and music get people back to a like more normal state. It may not completely, it won't cure you just by listening, but it can get you to a state where you're in a less stress, where if you do the rest of the stuff, you can kill yourself completely. So that was it. That was the really big turning point in my life where I realized that there was this whole different path. All the doctors were like, you can't stop taking the drugs, you're crazy. These are like close family friends. My mum is a doctor. She was going crazy. Wow. And I actually ran away from home. I went as far away from my home as possible. And I stayed with a friend of mine who, he's the guy who took me to Tony Robbins. He's a doctor as well, and a psychiatrist, funny enough. And basically I lived with him, and we were living in this psychiatric hospital where I said to him, we got one shot to make it in music. This is it, because I can't work at the moment. And, you know, this is the only time we're going to have loads of time, I think, you know. So we basically started making this music together, and it ended up becoming like this really popular therapy music called Cripnoral, which lots of therapists use now. And it's one thing's led to another now. Like, it basically, that time period I made all this music, that first music that I created still is the music that has helped me live this kind of totally like location independent lifestyle, you know. So real magic happened at that time, like crazy magic. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like you were saying, it was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, all that you have created since then and all that you were starting to create prior to getting into the pharmaceutical box, you know, all of that is who you are, your creative spirit. And none of that was structured within that creative, rigid system that was not open to, you know, sanity in a way. You know, it's still locked in and tied up into itself. So for the fitness crowd, because we're going to share this to the mytrainerfitness.com, if you could recap what it is that you did for your ulcerative colitis. So it was the music, meditation, and then you changed your diet.
Yeah, so let me tell you what the cause of most chronic illnesses are. And then from that, you'll figure the rest of it's easy. So basically, according to these ancient traditions, and now it's completely confirmed by science, pretty much, is that the immune system, a large part of it, I would say 60%, resides in your digestive tract. So, and most diseases begin there, right? Your gut. And your gut is like an intelligence in it of its own, right? So you have the gut's composed of a lot of bacteria. So the gut microbiome is where there's a lot of bacterial cells that live in harmony with your body. But there's also bad bacterial cells. And they actually are part of the intelligence system of your whole, your digestive tract. But your gut also is the layer between food coming in and then passing through and being digested. So the nutrients go back into your bloodstream, and then that's what fuels your body, right? But what can happen is that stress can disrupt this gut microbiome, okay? So you disrupt this bacterial flora, disrupts the intelligence, and then what that can lead to, and other forms of stress like sugar and toxins and drugs and pharmaceutical drugs and whatever, they start creating perforations in this gut wall, which is known as now leaky gut syndrome. And this leaky gut syndrome, actually athletes who work out very intensely, they're also prone to this. So athletes, basically, if they intensely work out too hard, they cause stress and they disrupt this microbiome as well and leads to leaky gut. So that's another form of physical stress. So you need to have the right, if you're going to be into fitness, you have to work out in the right way. There's a good way to work out and a bad way for your health. So I learned all this the hard way. But basically, when you get, as I was, very sick, and I was eating all this junky stuff, bad bacteria and all these toxins seep back in through leaky gut into your bloodstream, and they trigger inflammatory responses in the body. So your body goes, what is this junk? And it tries to clear it out, right? So it creates an immune response in response to it. So basically that can over time go out of control and lead to chronic inflammation in the body and areas that you're weaker in. So in Ayurveda, they actually know which part of the organ you're going to be more susceptible to based on your own personality. And it's really fascinating. So, I mean, that's beyond top of this call, but I knew from my own Ayurvedic makeup that my colon was the weakest place and that I store in. So emotions affect different parts of your body, and fear, which I was getting a lot of, and anger and all this stuff affects your, anger affects your stomach, and fear really affects your colon. So I had this double whammy of causing these ulcers in my colon, which is also colitis. And then you start bleeding. So the cure is very simple. Firstly, you have to work with stress, right? So you have, the best way to deal with any kind of stress is to change your perception of what the stress is. So as soon as I looked at my illness as a gift, right, and a challenge rather than a curse and a disaster, basically, but that basically was enough to change my mindset completely. Because now I looked at it as more like a game of getting well rather than I'm a victim, right? Just that change of perception makes a big difference.
It's huge.
And next, yeah, and the music really helps with changing your state. So there's a company called HeartMath who do a lot of stuff with coherence and measuring heart frequencies. And they found that basically that when you are at a high vibrational state, high energy of emotions, like emotion is energy in motion, basically. So you experience life through emotions. So when you have like emotions like passion and joy, you have coherent wave patterns. When you have discordant wave patterns, okay, you are operating in the low energy states, like fear. And the same thing goes with, so these frequencies, when they're in coherence, it's like listening to really good music, music that really resonates with you. When it's discordant, it's like listening to really out of tune music, or music that you just don't like or don't resonate with. So basically, if you listen to music that you really love, it actually has this weird effect of just raising your energy, because it's coherent. It's coherent sound waves, and it transmits to you, and that has this like effect on your body and your physiology and your mind. So that's one of the first things, is listen to really pleasing, soothing music that's designed to raise your vibration. And that's literally what I started to make, was the stuff that I found was the stuff that made me feel like that, feel that way. Because I was in such a dark place that the music that I make ended up being the antidote to it. So if you listen to it, it's really, really soothing. It's like, yeah, beautiful sounds and really hypnotic, beautiful sounds.
And it's a testament to the alternative, they call it alternative medicines and stuff, but it's like really, it's becoming like the thing to do to heal yourself. But it took like 3 months for you to get back to, you know, normal, whereas before you were out for like a whole year.
Yeah.
And still like not much progress, an entire year with not much progress. And then you start changing your whole mindset about all of this, and then changing what you take internally, sound, your environment, your mindset. And in 3 months it turned around. And so that's just incredible.
Yeah. There's something, as you were talking about the gut health, you know, and the bacteria biome, it brought to mind, we're also into gardening and have a gardening website, gardensall.com. Nice. And growing organic food, one of the premises is that you start with good soil. So it's like the soil is the equivalent of our gut. The soil is where you have, you know, the bacteria and the, you know, the creatures, you know, between earthworms to other kind of creatures that help the soil stay healthy. And so the bacteria in the soil, you have to have good bacteria in the soil, which is really, you know, symbiotic with growing good food and then eating good food that heals our own gut.
Yeah. So I don't really promote any kind of diets anymore. I just say one simple thing, that is just avoid anything made in a factory. As simple as that. And avoid stuff that's very, very mass farmed. So the certain crops that are grown on a huge scale, the soil is completely depleted of all the nutrients. So you're eating like kind of dead stuff anyway. And these mass grown cereals and crops, they don't want to, the seeds are so hard to digest that they cause allergies in your gut. So basically try and eat stuff that's not made in a factory. It's very simple. You don't need to read chapters and chapters of pages of a book to realize that actually the stuff that's made in a factory is going to be filled with chemicals and other stuff to make it taste appealing. It's just the way it is. And it's so much better just to actually learn how to cook your own food, make your own food out of whole foods, normal foods. Humans were not designed to eat stuff out of packets. We're meant to like find our food and eat real food. That's the human diet. Whereas we have this captive diet where it's like we're living in like farms that we're literally like animals in a farm, and we're force fed this captive diet. Like we're like prisoners in a farm, force fed this thing that makes us sicker and die younger. And that's what we've been hypnotized into thinking is right, when actually what we need to do is just go back to common sense and nature, and just go back to the fact that we know what's already good for us. We don't need to be told over and over again what's good for us. We already know what it is. If we just start listening to our own bodies, but that's why we have to get out of the state of stress and fear first and start learning to trust our own instincts. So that's why, like, first I'm all about the mind, and the second, then you can talk about physical body and exercise and things like that. And actually, you don't need a lot of exercise. You don't need a lot of that kind of stuff, actually. Or even your diet doesn't have to be incredible. It's just simple, right? But basically, what's more important is a sense of belonging and community. So as soon as I found out that actually, so there's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And that's one of the books I read. He talks all about having a mastermind. Well, I think there's one better than that, and that's having a supermind, right? The supermind is your people that you surround yourself with most of the time, okay? That actually that's your supermind. They're the people who have the most impact on your life, not your mastermind group. Because you can go to a mastermind group meeting once a month or whatever, or have a call with some people that are your mentors, maybe once a week or whatever that is. But then you go back into daily life, and then your super mind right now may be not very super. It may be literally like people who are living in that old paradigm. And if you can change that core group of people you spend most of your time hanging out with, that's why I had to leave my parents. It was a big, scary shift. I had to get out of there. I had to get away from the doctors. I had to run away from my relatives who like think that they're medically trained when they're not at all. And that was the best thing I did, was to escape and find. That's why I live on this island. I live in Koh Phangan, because the people who hang out with most of the time are all doing what I do. But some of them are doing it at an even higher level. And they all want to live and experience this like healthy lifestyle, waking up by the sea, having really beautiful home cooked food. And you know, it's a completely different environment back to living in a city. Yeah. So you've got to choose who you surround, because you become your environment. That's the number. In fact, that is more important than anything else. It's like, I was lucky that I had a Swami who took me in, right? But not everyone has that guru. So you got to either find your own guru within, or you got to find people who you trust, who've already done what you want to do. So that's why I really encourage people to join communities. We formed a community. And it's like an online virtual one where we have very like-minded people all following similar protocols that are from successful people doing what they want to do. So I believe the community is number one thing. And when you have a sense of belonging, right, where you feel you fit in, it does wonders to your stress levels, to your life, to everything, your perception of life. You no longer feel like a victim anymore. Because you're in a supportive environment.
Definitely.
Right? And that's the number one tip I can give to people, is find your tribe.
Yeah, it's essential. Mm-hmm. Essential for success and health and well-being. So and really what you're describing is, you know, the environment, a positive, healthy environment, in the same way we need to create that positive, healthy environment for our physical body, for our gut biome, we have to do it for our immediate surroundings as well.
Yes.
So one of the ways to do that, if people aren't already in a positive elevating environment, is, as you did, find one, find the people who are doing more of what you want to do. You know, if you want to meditation, then find meditation groups. If you want to do yoga, find yoga groups. If you want to be a creative, then hang out with people who are focused on positive creation and not negativity, because there's plenty of that. But what we focus on is what grows in our life. We know that. And so it's super important. So you've gone from, so we've gone through the physical journey. And let me just ask sort of a curiosity before we move on. You know, you had to move away from the environment of your family because they were just coming from what they were trained to know, right? And that knowledge was limited. Have they since, like, has there been some reconciliation relative to them seeing how you've succeeded in healing yourself? Has that helped them shift their mindset at all?
No, because it's really good question, because you would think that they would be converted, right? But no, they're actually not. My dad is to a little bit. My brother definitely is, and my mum certainly isn't. And it's all because of the clique that they have. Their supermind consists of doctors and pharmacists, and you know, Indians of their generation who are really, really dumb when it comes to health, like really dumb. And they all think I'm crazy, and they think that I'm the odd one out, the alien, right? They don't believe it. They're still in disbelief. Wow. My mum, and what it is because of the environment. That if my mum came here for a month, she'll change. When she goes to India, she hangs out with her friends in Calcutta for a month. She sometimes does. She actually just got back. She's a different person. As soon as she gets back to England, and she's with their little clique of these like very rich, very successful Asian people who think they know everything because they're doctors and pharmacists, but they don't at all. Not when it comes to actually curing people. She's a different person. She's back to her old bad habits straight away.
Wow, that just makes you question the see it to believe it quote, because it kind of flips it to where you actually do have to kind of believe it first and then you begin to see it, because you would think that seeing their own son or brother or family member transform through doing these different things, you would think like, oh yeah, of course, because they really saw, like, you were sick for a year and then after 3 months you're better and now you're living this great life, and like you would think that would do it.
But it's because it all comes down to self-esteem. So if somebody's self-esteem isn't high, if their reason to live isn't big enough, if their why isn't strong enough, they won't take the action that they need to have some self-love. And all of this is about self-love. Like, self-esteem and self-love go together, right? And like, if people are like, and this I saw this in the pharmacy a lot. People sometimes don't want to change simply because they don't feel that they're worthy of it. They don't feel loved enough. They don't feel like they're lovable people. And they're very self-loathing and self-destructive and self-sabotaging because they feel that that's all they deserve. And all of this comes back to imprints that happen in childhood. So if they were raised with very bullying parents that put them down all the time, or if they were raised in a school that was very competitive, very harsh, and the Indian schooling system is very, very bad. Like, there's some really cool Indian movies that totally exposes how bad the Indian schooling system is, because it was actually brought to them by the British. The British, old school British schooling system is ridiculously bad news. Like, it's so like punishing and it's militant. So that stayed in India and they didn't grow out of it. And Indian education before that was nothing like that. It was so different. So they've grown up with this crazy, like, aristocratic mentality of you have to be punished. If you don't get your timetables right, you have to get a ruler, you'll be whacked. And all that kind of bullying and competition and belittling people if they're not amazing at everything first time, it breaks down the character, breaks them down, breaks you down, breaks you down. And over time, I mean, I've seen it a lot. I think Asian immigrants in the UK are like some of the unhealthy, and it's true, it's the fact, they're the first to suffer from heart attacks. It's because they've been dislocated completely from their natural environment. And then they come to England and it's even more unnatural. And it's so stressful. And I was lucky I escaped that generation, but I think it's all down to the imprints that happen at childhood. So if your parents raise you in a certain way, if the school system raises you in a certain way, these leave these self-loathing imprints in you. Unless you're one of those real, like, aggressive people who breaks free, the renegades who break free and tells everyone to screw themselves and then they go off and do their thing. Or if you're the good doctor guy, child, and even a lot of the doctors I meet, they're miserable, they're bored, they only did it because their parents forced them to do it. A lot of my friends are like that, you know, who are totally disillusioned because it's not, they're not actually healthcare professionals, they're pill pushers for drug companies. That's actually what they really are, but they went into it wanting to be carers and healers, but that's not what they went in, that what they got. So I'm all about, like, helping people break these early imprints, so to repattern these old belief patterns that they've had. So the technology we've created, this brainwave technology, with using, like, affirmations, hypnosis, guided meditations, are really powerful at shifting these old imprints, these old habits, and to make people feel in love again with themselves. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So how did you get into the creating of, like, I know how you got into creating music because that was your background. So it was just a natural thing that you would start creating meditation music, but you've taken it into the science side of it, the study of the brain waves and that sort of thing, which is wonderful. It's needed because it really helps to validate it for the Western mind that, you know, might be skeptical about it, even though many of it just makes sense. It's logical. So how did you get more into, like, I think you've even worked with NASA. You've had events where you've filmed through special photography, the aura field of the event to show the effect of the meditation music. So how did you get into that side of it?
Yeah, so this is the really cool thing. So as soon as you start raising your energetic state, when you stop coming from more of a place of passion, you actually, like, naturally, the universe kind of changes your reality tunnel. And you start going down a tunnel that attracts people of that same emotional state. So when you're really passionate about something, you find other people who are really passionate about that thing. And my real passion was about, you know, these hypnosis, brainwave technology, helping people, you know, through these kind of personal development fields. And so I got to know some really amazing therapists in the UK. Like, one of them's a lady called Marissa Pierce, who's quite a famous therapist. And we ended up, like, doing stuff together. And that led me to then meeting, like, other really crazy, interesting people, like Uri Geller, who bends spoons with his mind and stuff. And then that led to going to, like, I got invited to this A-Fest thing by Mind Valley. And is where I met these NASA scientists. And A-Fest is like this whole community filled with very high-vibing entrepreneurs, conscious entrepreneurs. So you naturally, weirdly attract all these people into your life when you change your state and you start playing more from an area of passion. And whatever emotion of passion you're playing from, and whatever that is aligned with is who you'll attract. So I got really into all this, like, you know, peak performance and pranayama and yoga and people with superhuman abilities and stuff. And then that's how I attracted, like, Wim Hof, who's like this real life superhuman. He's super famous and he's like one of my really close friends. And we have a band together. We make music together. And, you know, we do all this music. We create these breathing techniques, and so it's like magic. It's magic, but it really is. It's hard to say anything more complicated than all we did. All I did really was just, I got really clear about what I wanted, and I raised my level of vibration to lots of passion because I fell in love with what I did.
Yeah,
and then I just focused on that. And I was very good at ignoring all the negativity. Once you get into such a state of certainty, that passion propels you forward, and the negativity almost gets repelled away from you. they don't want to be around you because you're like too much for them, you know? Yeah. Too scary for people who are very negative. So you just go forward and they stay at the back and it's all good.
No, I have a question. Yeah. In your years of doing all of this and, you know, talking to people, helping them heal, and for the people who are more resistant to changing through these simple things, do you notice that maybe there's this mindset that if it's not some complicated procedure to heal, that it's not going to work? Because it seems like the biggest thing for healing your body and your mind and just your emotional and just overall wellness, like whole life wellness, they're very simple steps, like not easy, but simple, like get your mind right, get your environment right, do the meditation, do these healthy things that help align your body and energy to healing. And do you think that a lot of people can't wrap their minds around it being so simple?
Yes, I think that's another trait of human beings, is that we love to make things complicated and difficult. Because when you do that, and you're the only one who can understand it, then you have a higher perceived value in society. Mm-hmm. And that's the birth of professors and, you know, doctors and all this stuff. Yeah. And it's just basically human nature. It's a way of raising your authority in society, is to know a lot about useless shit. And that's basically like what's going on in the world. It's there's so much nonsense out there. So many people making things convoluted and difficult. The pharmaceutical companies are brilliant at it. They use all these long words, stats, and they bring people in with all these fancy kind of PhDs and all this stuff to sell their stuff, to make it seem like they spent years and years and years and years developing this incredible drug that's going to save your life. When actually, it probably gives you 2% more benefit than a placebo, you know. But they cleverly make it seem like it's this wonder drug when it really isn't. And the side effects are way worse than if you just took the placebo. So that's the problem with society. And humans are now conditioned into thinking that by these people, these clever people. Have conditioned us in thinking that you have to be really, really clever and come up with crazy, complicated systems. When actually, and I do this myself sometimes. I sometimes make my stuff too easy, too difficult, because I'm like, I'm in disbelief of it, of how easy it is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And actually, Wim was one of the first people who really, really brought it back home and brought it back to how simple things were. Because when I first discovered this stuff, I was like, and he had this course online, I was like, I can't wait to learn this. It's gonna be really like, go really deep on this. And it's so simple, his techniques. So I was like, no way, I was in disbelief at first. And then I started doing it and I was like, oh my God, actually this is all you need to do. And then the more research I've done, the more I've simplified things like yoga and fitness and all the things that are out there, like in the world, like yoga is a very complicated system actually, but there's only a few asanas that you need to do to get really healthy. You don't need to do the whole long-winded thing. You don't need to know every single bendy position and become an acrobat or gymnast. There's just some very basic asanas that you need to know. And same with breath work. Like there's many different pranayamas. There's like Ujjayi breath, there's Kapalbhatiya, there's all these like different names, like long names, which are conjured up by gurus, obviously. But really, there's only scientifically, there's only one or two breathing techniques that have all the benefits, right? There's two of them, three of them actually, you put it into a sequence, which I do. And anyone can do it, takes minutes to learn, and it has all of the benefits of all of the whole school of pranayama. And then there's same with yoga. There's a few asanas, sitting down, standing up. In 15 minutes, you could do all the exercise you need for the day, right? But mm-hmm. we have like CrossFit, we have like Bikram yoga, we have all these different, because it's human nature to have variety. We get bored too easy with simple. We need more, we need more, we need to make things more complicated. And that's fine, that's totally cool. That's also okay. But I like to, like, for myself, like, I think I like to have more time to be creative, right? So my biggest passion, and that I do go deep on. Like, I go deep on things I read. So some people are going to really love chemistry and go deep on that and come up with all kinds of chemical equations. But I like to do it with music and go deep on that. And I'll, even with music, actually, simple is better. Like, when I make really complicated pieces of music with all these different sounds, it doesn't resonate anywhere near as much as the one that took me an hour to make. It's really interesting. So people, you actually prefer simple, but they're more drawn towards difficult. I think people are like conditioned to believing as artists that things have to be really, really, really complicated. Like, they have to be super intricate. And that doesn't always resonate with everyone, you know? Like, I have a friend who's an amazing artist. He does these insane mixed media artworks that are like so intricate and just, it must have taken him days and days to make. But there's like some guy, I can't remember his name, who's like got like a little flower, taken a picture of a flower, and it's just a photo of a flower, and he's like sold it for like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's so subjective, like what is good and what isn't. And I think that human beings are naturally drawn to making things difficult.
Well, I like the thing that Tim Ferriss says a lot when he decides to start a project is like, what would this look like if it were simple? And that,
yeah.
Like, there are some things you do want to dive deep into and become that, you know, expert in that topic, or just like pure fascination, dive into it. But there's so many things, like with health, with getting your work out there as a creative or an entrepreneur, like shipping it, as Seth Godin says, where you just do need to realize that sometimes you just need to break something down into like a few steps that make it easy.
Yeah.
And so we're talking on both sides. I think they both balance the universe in a way, because, you know, everything in existence is created from just the same number on the periodic table of elements, mm-hmm. and yet they're put into infinite number of combinations to create everything in existence. And
which is both simple and complex.
Which is simple and complex. So it's like we are, and you know, the creative process. It's like nature did not create, or God, whatever, did not create just one flower, because you know it's beautiful. It created so many variations, and we thrive on those and love those. But when
That's
it comes down to it, the nature of the flower is pretty much the same. It needs certain elements that are the same. So when it comes to healing, when it comes to balancing, you know, our finding our center and our core, it's through back to those simple sounds that you were talking about, those simple rhythms that help to synchronize and syncopate our internal resources, which is back to meditation and what meditation is about, which is what, you know, so you have created, you have a SoundCloud account called Amaya Music. And we'll link all your fantastic sites. Your website is The Renegade Pharmacist. And then you also have tripneuralmeditation.com. And then you have some free YouTube videos with meditation, like people can access for free. So you create your own kind of meditation, or are you doing some kind of meditation that you've been trained from somebody else's system?
No, it's... It's basically bringing together stuff that I've picked up over the years. So I got really into this brainwave entrainment music when I was sick. So that really pulled me, and that gave me a lot of like satisfaction. So I was like, how do I make this like more appealing? Because the stuff that was out there, the only person that was doing the sort of stuff that I liked that was edgy and cool was this 18-year-old kid in San Francisco. And he had like millions of views on his YouTube channel, and we ended up like working together actually. And he inspired me to make this brainwave music in the beginning. But it before all the stuff that was on the market that I discovered was like kind of like panpipe moods and like really like cheesy elevator music stuff with like horrible like frequencies going through. And I was like, oh, this is horrible. Like, let me make this a bit better. So I started making my own stuff. And it was hugely popular on YouTube. Like, it got such a great reaction. Because I knew that it was like, it just needed to, it was like, you know, when dance music came out, like, it kind of changed everything. It was the cool, edgy music when everyone was listening to this cheesy 80s, like Kylie Minogue pop music. Suddenly this cool, so I knew that there needed to be a slight upgrade to the sound, which is what I did. And then I found that actually binaural beats is what they used to use. It was really like an old way of doing it. And I said, I thought, like, actually, what is brainwave entrainment really? Brainwave entrainment is just tuning. And this is why people like to make things complicated. It's like, because you can sell it for more. I was like, actually, what is brainwave entrainment really? Brainwave entrainment is simply just tuning one frequency to be the same as another, right? So who used to do this all the time? There was the old African tribes, the Indian percussionists, when they're playing their rhythms like this, because all brainwave entrainment is one rhythm tuning to another rhythm. It's the same, and brainwaves are just all rhythmical, right? It's cyclical. So the drum patterns of Africa and even the dance music grooves of house music, they're all training people and raising emotional states. And I was like, okay, I don't want to just feel like I want to sleep and be bored, right? Okay, that's cool. Yeah, some brainwave music is good for making. But what I want is like music that's going to elevate my state, expand my consciousness, raise my vibration. And so I started to like work back with like what I used to love, which was like dance music, the house music, trance, and these like African tribal rhythms and stuff. And then I discovered like ecstatic dance and this like amazing African tribal stuff that we play in Pepangan and I DJ and stuff. And then I create my own music for like for doing different types of meditation too, which are more like active meditations, like breath work. So breathing in rhythm to music is the ultimate way to change your state. And when you use like mulabandha, like energy locks and tantric kind of breathing techniques, it's like magic. So I do these amazing workshops in Koh Phangan. The last one, the big one I did was 85 people on New Year's Eve with a cacao ceremony. Cacao is like the super energizer. So we combine that with, it's a heart opener as well, with this breath work and music, and people reach these supernatural states. Like they have like conversations with God and incredible downloads and feel like new people at the end of it. And so this is what I'm really focused on at the moment. I call it Soma. It's like, I believe it's like one of the most magical things I've ever come up with. And it's combining breathing techniques, some of it inspired from Wim Hof, with music, very tribal, rhythmical breathing to music, and using my understanding of hypnosis and guided meditation to create this really hypnotic journey that helps people create an intention and seed that intention really deep. And that's how magic happens, right? So basically magic is just words and numbers said to somebody in the right way, right? Mm-hmm. And painting that picture in somebody's mind is like how you can literally change somebody's state so dramatically that it appears to other people like you've done some kind of voodoo or magic. And that's kind of like the results we're getting in our workshops. People who come to our workshops, they go away going, oh my God, what just happened? You know, like my life's completely changed. And people have gone and quit their jobs and gone on and done something really profound with their lives as a result, you know, people have gone on and started the business that they've been holding back, or they've gone and done their best ever piece of artwork, you know. And then really spooky things happen, like around numbers and like especially the number 11. I have this really weird thing with number 11. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. But the people who come to our workshops now, like, so the NASA people, they wanted to measure it. They saw like gamma waves, which they never see normally in just normal meditation. Wow. Gamma waves is usually only produced by people like the Dalai Lama, and they found that this breathing techniques and combined with the music actually produces gamma. And I've got like CEOs of like big companies, like Zumba, who've become good friends of mine. You know, my network has become incredible, like Wim Hof, like superhumans. I've got super yogis on my Swami, and I've got like insane like friends now compared to when I was in a pharmacy or lying in my deathbed, basically. And it all came down to getting people to breathe together. Because the root meaning of the word spiritual, okay, is actually, the Latin meaning is to breathe. And when you inspire, when you're inspired, you breathe in. When you conspire, conspiracy, it means to breathe together. So we, at these retreats that I do, we conspire to make magic together, nice. To co-create magic together. So everyone creates this like intention, a group intention, and we all breathe together in this rhythm, in this harmony. And HeartMath showed as well that when you do this rhythmical breathing, you create coherence between the group, and that rubs off onto the rest of the world. Absolutely. And the environment, it rubs off and it becomes like this butterfly effect. So that's really what I'm spreading right now, because I want it to be simple, right, and accessible. And I think just through just doing this one breathing ritual, which I call Soma, magic happens, but it has so many other benefits to your health, to your mental state, your clarity, that once you've done that, you become open to everything else. Like you get open to eating the right diet. You get open to doing a little bit of exercise every day. You find a sense of passion. You become, your real self becomes revealed in front of you. And actually sometimes stuff comes up that really is terrifying for some people, right? But, you know, once you get through it, it's like huge relief.
Yeah.
Huge.
As you were talking, and since many in our audience are artists of, you know, like painting as well as speaking, singing, music, composing,
yeah.
As well as entrepreneurial artists, it's like what you're doing with people's consciousness is like a painting on a canvas. So we can see the color that someone chooses to paint and the beautiful art someone chooses to make on a canvas, but we can't necessarily see what's going on internally, you know, on the canvas of mind and soul. But what it does is it has a similar effect. You know, you're painting creations that have qualities within people's own, you know, environment, essentially. So that's fantastic. Do you have a link that we can share on the Soma, the breathing exercises?
Yeah. Should I send you a link to give to your...
We can get it from you afterwards. So,
Because we're right now, the timing of this is perfect because I'm actually doing the first ever like experiment it's like a global experiment where we're going to get everyone to breathe together. And I've got this guided track with this music, which is this beautiful soothing music that I produced on this island with some of the musicians here. And, basically, the whole purpose of it is you set your intention, right, together. Well, you do it for yourself, but because it's done as a group and you're going to be doing it with people all across the world at the same time. And we're going to do this for like a week every month. We're going to do it for a week where we know that for that week, people at set times are going to all be breathing together around the world. And it guides you to create an intention, set the intention, and to let that intention go off into the universe or whatever, into sky. But it sounds a little bit woo-woo, but it actually isn't. It's all just hypnotic suggestion. It's like really powerful self-hypnosis. It's like basically really conditioning your mind to get that thing done that you've been holding back or whatever you need to do. If you're an artist and you know, if you just finish that one piece of artwork and get it out there, it will give you the motivation, the energy to do that. Or, you know, if you're somebody who hasn't picked up the guitar for a while because you're too scared, it might help you overcome that block, you know, that you've had. So, it's going to be an amazing experiment. We're going to, like, do this very soon, literally within the next month.
Okay.
And I'll give you the link, and then you'll get on the list. You'll be notified all about when it's going to kick off. It's completely free, and it's just an experiment. I want to get people's feedback to see how it goes.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, it's sort of like if I were to open the window, if I were capable of, you know, having an incredible voice and I were to open the window and belt out, you know, an incredible song, then that sound may carry to the neighbor who might hear it and might be pleased by that as well. Those are things that, you know, are tangible, but just, you know, so what you're talking about though is belting out essentially energy into the universe. Just because people can't specifically hear it or see it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, we have the capacity now to recognize that there are things on light waves and sound waves that happen all the time, but we just don't yet, most of us haven't developed the vision to see them you know, in physicality, mm-hmm. in the physical realm, but they are still there and they are still affecting and impacting people. So that's fantastic. And it gets back to the, you know, how critical it is, you know, environment is more powerful than will, and we must choose the kind of environment and people and habits that are going to elevate us and help us, you know, essentially realize our greatest potential.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And since I've been doing this, these breathing techniques, like, absolute magic is happening. I mean, you'll hear about it all on the call that we do when we do this live group breathwork session. It's going to be amazing.
We'll look forward to that and definitely link to that. Since it's basically midnight or later your time, I think.
Yeah.
And we know that you're not necessarily the night owl, so we really appreciate your staying up and sharing this incredible resource and wisdom and hope and opportunity with us. We look forward to sharing it with all our audience. If you could kind of summarize, because everything you're doing is the creative process, you know, and it's about creators. Mm-hmm. And so our I Create Daily brand, you know, was really created from the concept of, you know, our destiny is to be creators, is to pull from the inside out and put it into the ethers and bring it into manifestation, whatever stream that is, that, you know, that is particular to you and your creativity. And I mean, you certainly have demonstrated a vast amount of that in an array of different areas, mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. Do you have any particular daily routine for creativity?
Daily routine for creativity. Basically, it really, really, really comes down to actually just doing it, right? So, no, I know it's weird. Like, if I was to give, I think people procrastinate a lot. And actually, that's okay as well. But, me and my friends, I have some friends who are, like, really, really, like, successful music producers. And if I was to, as an artist to another artist, I would say that it's every day you don't do your art, you're doing disservice to not only yourself, but to humanity. Because if you take away human beings from the planet, right, what really was their purpose on this planet? What have they left here of any value other than music and art? What else was the point of human beings? There's nothing. Right, I can't think of anything else. Right, so your job as an artist is to save humanity. You show people the way to the other. Right, you show people what's not even possible in their minds. You change their perception, and you make it possible. So the moment you start taking action is the moment you'll succeed, because otherwise you won't. Because success doesn't happen without action. So all artists just need to do their bit. It doesn't matter nobody hears about it. You know, if it's even for your own self-satisfaction as an artist, there's nothing better for your brain and your health than actually just doing something. Definitely. Like artistic and creative. That's it.
Definitely. That's an awesome note to end on. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this incredible wealth of information with us, Niraj. We really look forward to keeping up the connection and to joining you.
Definitely. Yes. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Okay. Much love. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for the I Create Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the I Create Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.